I don't know, Jay-Z show. I seen some Jay-Z shows. Jay-Z show, at least I be getting that. My favorite part of Jay-Z show was always when he did Nigga What, Nigga Who. That was always the best part of the Jay-Z show. You know what I'm saying? He was just like, all right, this crowd over here, left side, y'all nigga what, right side, y'all nigga who, you know what I'm saying, nigga who. And he said, you know, and when we get to the hook, I want to, you know, I want you to do what you do. So, nigga what? Nigga who? You can't fuck with me, nigga what? And then you got each side trying to out, yeah, the other. And that was always just a fun experience. And then you rap along with him to the words, and then that shit come in. And,
Hardly ever, I mean, I see him rap his verse, but for the most part, he had sunglasses on and he just
yeah. I mean, but
styling and profile.
But it's you.
My shit for me.
It's you really knowing the words and rapping along with him that really makes his show so much fun. Like
you're doing the work for him.
I mean, no. Go. Oh.
It's young. And just hold the microphone up.
No, no, no. I mean, I've seen rappers that just rap like three words and then they let the crowd go.
Future used to be like that.
But nah, Jay-Z, he'll rap. Like, and the one thing I like about him, he don't rap with the words. He will rap with the instrumental and just go or bang.
Show track.
Yeah, he do show tracks. He don't just, you know, that's
rapping along to the words.
Rap along to the words. Like, I feel bad for, I don't feel bad, but I saw Nas last summer. And when I saw Nas show, I imagine he didn't have all the instrumentals from his first album because all his new stuff, he did show tracks, but like everything off of like Illmatic, yeah, he did, you know, with the backing track.
He don't have them.
He don't have them. Yeah. I'm just like, yeah, he don't have them.
So you gotta do.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah. You gotta play the track for it, and it's like, damn, that's your first stuff. Like
Wu-Tang, it's like some songs they had it, some songs they didn't. I guess they had the songs when they felt they need, but you know, Wu-Tang was some of the best perform. Wu-Tang was like one of the best rap performers. Busta Rhymes, Wu-Tang, Nas. It's like literally that's one of the top three concerts I've ever been to. I would say Watch the Throne. That Wu-Tang concert and the Outkast concert, probably the best three rap. Ain't no probably. Those were the best three rap concerts I've ever been to because everybody on the stage was a legendary performer and knew what the fuck they were doing. Kanye West Live is, say what you want about
him. It's amazing. Kanye West Live is fucking amazing.
It's like,
I seen him at Birthday Bash. His shit was, and I was right there because I got a media pass. Like, that shit was good.
That is always a good performer. I was doing yoga this morning and,
doing it with my girl. I told you to stop.
Adrian, yeah. And then she was just like, all right, you know, I want Nah, she was just like, all right, she said, I want you to hook your thumbs together and hold your hand up. Kind of like the Wu-Tang sign. Wu-Tang. You ain't seen that one. The full body workout. When she talk about Wu-Tang, she said, maybe she do a collaboration. I was like, you want to collab with Wu-Tang? Damn, Andrew, you trill as fuck.
Wu's for the babies.
Oh, man. But that's something I was going to play it, but you know, you got to be out. So I guess I'll wait another time. All right, so this is what we left off, man. Snowfall, we got like two episodes left of Snowfall, but yeah, I guess we can wait till the finale comes because a lot's happened since Jerome's funeral. I called it last season and told you it was going to be Franklin versus Louis. Told you Louis was going to be the villain, and Louis was the whole villain the whole fucking season. But deep down inside, I was the white man, Reed. I mean, that's always the real villain, you know what I'm saying? But a lot of people done died. Shit done got real bad spoilers. But what I want to talk about now is because this shit just ended and we ain't got that much time left is Wu-Tang, man. American Saga has ended. It's been a great series. I've had fun with this, watching it. The anthology episodes was like really dope. Cuban Links one was dope. I really liked the Liquid Swords one a lot. That was dope. Return to the Thirstiest Chain was cool with Old Dirty. I think that threw a lot of people off because it was just so meta and blaxploitation. People weren't really feeling that. But everybody praised the Only Built for Cuban Links one.
I mean, how can you not?
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, the series came to an end with the Rage Against the Machine tour, which Wu-Tang got kicked off of because niggas wasn't showing up to perform and everybody wasn't performing. And I remember them talking about it in interviews and stuff like, bro, everybody was not coming to the concert, bro. Everybody was just chilling, or you know, they kind of showed ODB was hanging with some hippies gallivanting around. You know what I'm saying? Like, this man just like, I'm like, damn, bro, what the hell you got going on, ODB? You just
here,
bro. Like, you just like
the man on the bus.
Nigga, like, wait a minute, you watched the show? He was like, yeah, son, I watched the last show, man. It was doing what you was like, bro. Really? And you got to see Raekwon tension building with RZA. He was just like, bro, we don't need to change our sound. Like, and it was crazy because they was like, that's when they didn't realize hip hop was growing. So Wu-Tang was like, bro, why the fuck we gotta perform in front of all these white folks, bro? We need to go and do our own shit in front of our own people. And they were just like, bro, like we the whole point of doing this shit was to get more fans, bro. We need to perform in front of these people. You know what I'm saying? And niggas weren't really trying to perform in front of them crowd of white people. And they said in the documentary, if you go back and watch Mice and Men, that was the first time they heard, like, you know, groups of white people rapping along with the song saying nigga. And that shit just fucked them up, being 5%ers and shit. But hearing them people recite these 5% of lyrics and not knowing the meaning, it really fucked with them, because they was like, this is supposed to be for black people, not for the white people. And we performed it for them, and they just really felt like they were giving away too much shit that they didn't want to give away.
Look at them now.
I mean, look at them now, man. I like how the series ended. This season finale felt like a season finale, not like a fitting series finale.
It just makes you want so much more, because like, so much.
Yeah, I felt like I'm glad they didn't, like, I get why they didn't want to go through the traumatic reenactment of ODB's passing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to do that. You don't want to get negative by highlighting the fallout of Wu-Tang, you know, before Iron Flag. Leaning it on Triumph was a triumph, because it was hard enough. You seen how hard it was to get that second album done, because everybody was really on some independent shit. And you know, when you saw the tour, you saw the lesser known Wu-Tang members who weren't stars were the ones who was like, bro, we the ones on stage, cause we ain't got no solo album to get paid on. Ghost feel like he, you know, man, I'm with my girl, I'm fine, I ain't got to do this shit. Raekwon is just like, I disagree with RZA, so despite him, I'm not performing. That's how they played it off. I'm not saying that's exactly how it went. You can read his book for his version of that, which I do plan to get. Wu-Tang Manual, they touch on it as well. But, yeah, man, it was... that last episode was dope, but the entire season, it was very unique. It was very unique. It didn't hit me how last season did when they, you know, did the episode when they were building the beats, but they did something completely different. I like how no two seasons are the same.
That, I like how they went more into the individual stories on the albums that kind of had, what's this called? Anthological?
Yeah. Anthology.
It went into that.
Allegorical.
Thank you. I was like, I know it's a word somewhere.
Allegorical episodes.
Some people didn't like them. I enjoyed them. The Liquid Swords one, I definitely enjoyed more than I thought that I would. And I realized I've never heard the Jesus album. I've never heard Liquid Swords before.
That is a dope album.
So it definitely made me want to go back and listen to Liquid Swords. A friend of mine, after that episode came on, he played Liquid Swords and he's like, okay, I like this. This is dope. What else should I go to, you know, outside of the Wu-Tang album? Because he heard that one. And I suggested Only Built for Cuban Links. That's Purple Tape is my favorite album, followed by Supreme Clientele. Or Supreme Clientele followed by Purple Tape. It just depends on what day it is.
I mean, and he got a lot. Ghostface ended up doing a lot of solo albums. By the Supreme Clientele came out, what, 2001?
Yeah.
But before that, he had Iron Man, and then he had
his first one Bulletproof was Iron
Wallace.
Man,
yeah, the second one was Bulletproof Wallace.
Yeah.
So what we see with the tour, Bulletproof Wallace was coming out around then. You know what I'm saying? So, Raekwon, you know, his first album was a classic. His second album just kind of just floated through the wind. People didn't really gravitate.
I don't even know what the name of his second album is.
A lot of people don't, because so a lot of time passed, and really that first album really just held him in such high regard for so long. Method Man dropped to Cal 2, and then, you know, he did the Red Man and Method Man by the time we got to 2000s. But I ain't gonna lie, bro, from 93 to 99, those 6 years, like, RZA, think about it, to 98, bro, that was the first 5 years. After that, it was like trying to get everybody on the track. And it hurt watching these. It hurt seeing the first season and the second season, everything they went through. It hurt watching these niggas' egos fight. That shit on a, like, even me knowing it was actors being like, damn, bro. Like, it sucks because you just really think, like, yeah, man, y'all got it by the mathematics. Y'all got it by the kung fu and y'all drawing and y'all trust RZA. Y'all, like, you wouldn't think that they would go through the pitfalls of the Temptations and all these other groups of David Ruffin syndrome.
Yeah.
Nigga feeling like you bigger than the group.
All of them.
You know what I'm saying? All of them got ego. And then I like how Jizza told them, like, God, like, bro, everybody gonna get egos because everybody gonna be rich. Everybody a star. You know what I'm saying? You expect ego. He's like, but you the Abbott, bro. We gonna trust it. I like, you know. I feel like Method Man didn't get the shine in this season. But I feel like, nigga, it was always Ghost and Ray. It was Ghost, Ray, RZA. Yeah. I feel like Ghost, Ray, and RZA were the ones who just really, like, them the stars, bro. Like, Method Man, too, absolutely. And ODB. ODB was arguably the biggest star had he not died.
Yeah.
You know, but I like how You God, you know, Inspector Deck got their own episode. I thought that was really dope. I like how, you know...
And that Triumph verse, man. That I feel like that is...
Deck, man!
That is...
Obamatomically, Socrates' philosophies and hypotheses can't describe how I'll be dropping these mockeries. Lyrically perform home robberies. Flee with the lottery. Possibly they spotted me. Battle scarred shogun. Explosive when my pen hits. Tremendous. Ultra violent. Shine blind forensics. I inspect you through the future, see millennium. Killer B sold 50 gold, 60 platinum. Bruh, that verse was net, bruh. Honestly,
I was a true blue southern motherfucker. I ain't give a fuck about no goddamn New York hip hop. When I seen that video, when them killer bees swarmed up.
Bro, when you find out how expensive this was and how much they went into promote. Back then, I thought the only reason videos got played because they were popular. Then I find out, nah, they just paying them to perform.
Yeah.
So I remember waking up Saturday morning and, you know, a cartoon like Fox or ABC or WB might not be playing a cartoon I want to watch. Might have Eat the Cat or some dumb bullshit on. So I'm like, man, let me turn to BET and see what's on. And I always caught the Triumph video. And it was just like that first verse. Nigga on the wall climbing like Spider-Man. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, then you had goddamn transforming to the Ghost Rider. Your six pack in the street car. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of that is. But back then, I didn't like. Honestly, bro.
You have flames pull up on me when I'm on the bike?
After. Shit, bro, after RZA verse, it was just like, eh. But then I remember everybody else, too. Like, I always liked it. The older I got, I always appreciated somebody's verse, like, the older I got.
What I liked about it, to me, I felt like it was unprecedented for them to have. That video was long as fuck.
6 minutes long. It's a 6-minute song.
That was a long fucking video, but...
Chill like a movie.
Yeah. I never seen anything like that.
Niggas just rapping.
I never seen anything like that, and I remember... Hearing Wu-Tang Clan, but I didn't know shit about it because, again, I was in a city that had a culture that was big enough to be insulated. We didn't have to listen to shit that was outside because we had enough of our own shit. But, I mean, you hear about these people when you're bigger, and then, of course, you watch BET and shit. And I definitely remember the Method Man and Mary J. Blige video.
I remember that. I remember all of that. And I hate that we didn't get to the Grammys. I really wanted to get to the Grammys.
Wu-Tang is for the babies.
I wanted to see Method Man get his Grammys. I also wanted to see Wu-Tang is for the children. I wanted to see all those moments. They didn't recreate them. I wanted them to, but they didn't.
I did like the moments that they did talk about. Like, the deal, that was fire. But the deal, when the motherfucker went to the people and was like, nah, I want 2 million, I want 4 million, you know, that was unheard of.
And then that lady was like, shot, I could have got you 6. Like, you lying? He's like, man, you don't know what these rock and roll groups getting.
Yeah.
And that was the crazy thing about it. Cause it's like,
I say this, and now you
get because this that's what they was telling Divine. They were telling Divine, like, bro, you don't know what you're doing. You getting lowballed. And you go back and there's some DJ Vlad interviews with Raekwon where he was like, bro, knowing what we know now, he was like, bro, we were the hottest group
in the world.
And you could have asked for anything. And Divine, he felt that RZA at a certain point, instead of putting his brother in position to be management, he said at a certain point he should have just hired someone from the industry to just come in and just really get them the deals that they needed. And he was just like, bro, it ain't no. He was just like, think about it, bro. We getting $4 million. You know, that sound like a lot
at that time.
But when you gotta bust that down between management and then split that shit 10 ways. He was just like, bro, like we was getting like 50,000 after that shit gone. I'm like, what? They're just like, yeah, bro, after you get the money and then you pay taxes, so you're left with like $2 to $3 million. And then after, you know, management get they cut, they got to split that. And then you got $1 million you got to split between 9 niggas. And then you got to, then they got to pay taxes on their $9 million. I mean, on that million they get. Yeah. So everybody get $100,000 and everybody got to pay like almost like 40% of that shit. So it's just like, bro, we all end up getting like 60. We get an album, get like $60,000. You know what I'm saying? It was just like, bro, we weren't really getting that money because we had to split that shit so much. It was too many of us. That but they just, to encapsulate this series, man, just through, it's so much that happened. Like, the journey of Wu-Tang was really inspirational. And I feel like it's always something to learn. This season especially just showed the pitfalls of fame and fortune. RZA was gone most of the episodes because he was just in L.A. learning new shit, trying to find stuff. It was people that did not get their shine, that didn't get showed in this shit. Like, I feel like they left shit off of the table.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it left me wanting more, but I did enjoy what they did put in there. I did like, they talked about, I always forget his name too, the guy that started the Woo Wear line.
Yeah, Powell Grant.
Yeah. I like how they integrated his story because I felt like that was equally important. I mean, Wu-Tang did,
that was the first
kind of pioneer
the whole hip hop
fashion,
urban wear. They pioneered that whole thing. Nobody else had. And I remember when I could not get Wu wearing Macy's. I remember down here, bro, you couldn't find that shit in Macon.
Yeah, you had to go to stores.
Like, yeah, it was hard to find. And when you find it, they ain't had your size. That shit sold out for real. I remember when I wanted Wu wear, but I could not find no Wu wear. I remember kids coming to school. I remember drawing a Wu-Tang symbol. Like, kids would have the Wu-Tang shirts and the Wu wear and the sweats and shit, and I could never get them. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, my mom. But then again, how can I complain? I wasn't wearing Wu wear. I was wearing Tommy Hilfiger and Hugo Boss. Fuck, I look like. I was wearing Tommy Hilfiger and Boss to school every day. I had a different Hilfiger and
Tommy
Boss.
Tommy Hill. Ice rocking niggas.
That's how I was, boy. Like, and then, you know, until Pimp C told me I had to wear polo instead of
fuck that heel
instead figure. Of heel figure. And literally I watched every nigga throw their heel figure away and wear Ralph Lauren. To this day.
Polo fuck that heel figure.
Nigga, I have not worn Tommy Hilfiger since 98, bro. Since 98, I have not worn. Bro, I have not worn Tommy Hilfiger since about 98, since Aaliyah died, bro. Since before Aaliyah died,
that's
bro.
That's a fly shit.
You know what I'm saying? But anyway, Wu-Tang, man, I really, I just appreciated everything.
I'm gonna miss that show, man.
It's crazy how I outlined Ghost, you know, who's RZA, his wife's RZA's sister, their relationship, how she was like, yeah, you can go on the road, fuck these groupers, but you better come home and act, you got some sense. And it's just like, damn, bro, do they make them like you anymore? God damn. Like, shit.
And then you hear Wildflower. Hey, bitch, I fucked your friend. Yeah, you stank, ho.
Oh, man, they did not tell us the origin behind that fucking song. I'm like, wait a minute, RZA.
No
was he talking about
lines, no snake in the line.
Was it with no smoke in the lines? Like, bro, was he talking about your sister on this song?
Hey, bitch, I fucked your friend. Yeah, you stank, ho. I remember the first time I heard that, I was like, yo. I was in college. Like I said, the first Of course, I heard about the niggas growing up. I heard Triumph. That was my shit. But I never had a Wu-Tang album because I was still in elementary school when Triumph came.
What, Atlanta indoctrinated.
Well, no, I was still in elementary school when Triumph came out. So It wasn't like my mom was finna go buy me a Wu-Tang album. But by the time I got up, by the time I found the Fish School, you know, the Columbia House 12 for CDs for a penny shit, and you don't cancel your membership, and they sent me Fish Scale.
I can't believe they went bankrupt off of that shit.
Well, you can't believe that they giving 12 CDs away for a penny,
and nobody pays
for them, and then they continue to send you CDs that you don't pay for? Because I never pay for any of them motherfuckers.
Like, bro, I'm 12. I have no credit, nigga.
You stupid. No wonder they went bankrupt. But hearing Fish Scale, and then at that time, he had that video with Neo out. Come to the block in a brand new Benz, knowing that me and that nigga ain't friends. And what I did was whack, but you don't get your man back like that. Yeah. And yo, I should throw a... But I remember that video. I was like, oh, this is the, what's that? And putting that shit in was like a fucking... I remember putting my headphones on. It's like a fucking movie where the shit rushes inside the person and it's a whole... cocaine filled experience, and then having to go back from there, and then listening to the Purple Tape and all that shit, man, those are some great ass albums. I would have loved to have been an adult in the 90s, which brings me to my last and final point. Hulu is coming out with yet another Freaknik documentary.
Bruh, like Hulu, I gotta watch the Freaknik documentary.
I do too. And Hulu. people like, they keep coming out with Freaknik documentary. I don't give a fuck, nigga.
I've never seen one.
I've seen plenty. There's been like three of them in the past couple years.
I'm gonna check that out. I heard a review about the Jared from Subway documentary on Hulu.
Oh, yeah.
I heard about that shit. They got one about Brooke Shields. I might check that one out, bro. I'm like, damn, bro.
Oh, yeah. They said y'all that nigga was sick.
Y'all niggas was wild. Yeah, that Jared one, I heard that nigga was wild. I don't even know if I wanna watch that one. I was like, bro, this nigga sick. I don't even know if I want to watch that.
Yeah. Nah, I need to see that Freaknik
documentary. I got to see the Freaknik one. I seen a few good documentaries. I want to see a good black documentary because mostly it'd be over killers and cults.
Yeah.
I watched one on Netflix, though.
Which one?
About Waco, Texas.
I hadn't seen that one, but I seen the Waco shit a long time ago.
I'm watching the one on Netflix, man. That shit, wow.
Ran that motherfucker over with a tank.
Bro, that motherfucker wild as shit, bro. Like, I was like, damn, bro, Waco, that shit, wow.
Yeah,
I don't think it was he had these guns. That nigga said he was the second coming of Jesus.
Yeah. Hey, ran that motherfucker over the tank. They're like, oh, we don't know, but you see the shirt. You see the tread marks. You see the shirt on the tread of the tank that ran through the fucking building.
We're a little late on it. I guess everybody done said everything they had to say on it, but we had the national championship. National championship took place recently. And then there was a subsequent fallout due to shout out to Tony Yayo. Shout out to Tony Yayo, and I love John Cena always giving Tony Yayo his credit for the dance, because I always knew that in the club video when I seen Tony Yayo covering his face doing the "You Can't See Me," and you know when John Cena made that his signature thing in wrestling, I like how he always showed love about where he got it from. But everybody knows it's the John Cena. You Can't See Me. So these two young ladies got out there and balled the fuck out. I was not watching the game. I was one of the few people in America that weren't watching the game. And I ain't going to front and act like I was watching this whole tournament.
Watch women's basketball.
Look at you. I do. But this Sunday, it caught me on the Sunday where...
They watch college. I don't even watch men's college basketball.
I watched collegiate basketball. Like, I was kind of bitter. Dude got put out, and then I had to see these other teams, like, go through the rest of the tournament. So, I kind of just...
Teams.
Yeah, I started tuning games out at that point. So, it was a Sunday. I'm watching anime, because Senpai Sunday. Sunday is my anime day. It, you know what I'm saying? Sunday is the day that I do so much stuff during the week. Sunday's the day when I sit down and I just pop a beer. Ain't no sports for the most part. So, I be watching anime chilling. So, I'm up here just watching... You know, the last little season series finales of the, you know, spring season. I mean, after the winter season, the next thing I know, my phone start going the fuck off. So I scroll social media and I'm like, oh, boy, like, LSU beating that ass. And I'm like, huh? So I went, checked out the game, put the game on for a couple minutes, and I seen the score. I was like, well, shit, man, LSU finna beat the fuck out of Iowa. And I just turned the game off like it wasn't nothing. Like, well, they already up. When I turned to the game, they was already up down there 20. So I didn't stay on the game. I just turned it right off because I was like, well, this is a blowout. Everybody going crazy. It must be. I didn't know who. I didn't know who none of those girls were.
Me neither.
So when the news came, everybody was forced to do their research, and I seen all the clips. But bro, that shit got ugly. And when I say all the race shit came out, I just smelled it. I was just like, this black girl done got up there, they done ran the score up on them. Unless you done beat that ass by 20. And then she start taunting the bitch, talking shit. I'm talking about just, I was just like, oh, yo, but she trash talking. You know, that was pretty much it. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, well, you know, Caitlin Clark, you know, I didn't know who Clayton Clark was. You know, they call Larry Bird's daughter. But apparently, I look back at her record, and I'm just like, apparently Angel Reese has been beating her. And when she played at Maryland, she never beat her. Like, so apparently Angel Reese just knows how to beat Caitlin Clark. But she had a good team. Everybody showed up. They won. And everybody was favored LSU to lose. Nobody wanted to see, like, that team win.
Yeah.
You know, you could say it was because it's LSU. It's the SEC girls team. It ain't the girls UConn team. It ain't girls Duke team. It's LSU. People like, man, who the fuck? So they get there and they beat, you know, of course, you know, the girl with the greatest collegiate female stats of all time. People want to see her win the championship. And she ain't been winning the championship. So her moment came and, you know, they just kind of felt like, you know, that was get back against South Carolina. You know, so I mean, I seen when she came off she came off on the court, looked at whoever she was looking with, and she did the Tony Ayo. So when Shada did, and she looked dead at her, was like, yeah, she started pointing to that ring, like, baby, we were in the fucking ring, like, and I get it. If you the best, and everybody know you the best, and I'm beating you, I'm talking shit. Because
cash money shit.
You the best. And it ain't like I came off the bench.
And I'm talking embarrassing shit. Like, she did what she did was let them get off light. It was just a gesture and a point to the finger. I would have been calling you a bitch. I would like, get these balls off the floor. Let's can I go sit down? Can we put our C team in to go play with these bums?
Like, I mean, you run 20 up. You run 20 up on the best. Like of the Larry Bird of college female college basketball, and you get your Magic Johnson LeBron on, and you just really show the fuck up, and you know, and then you know, so everybody's like, it was classless, and I was just like, look, man, America, I need to
not everybody fucking Keith Oberlin, bitch ass.
And I used to, you know what's crazy about Keith Oberlin? When he did politics, like strict politics and not sports, I liked the majority of his political takes. That shit be funny how he went back into sports. I ain't hear what he said. What happened? What did he?
He's the one that said she's a classist piece of shit.
Oh, he was the one that said that. I know the guy who's in charge of Barstool Sports said that.
Nah. The Barstool's LSU Twitter page put up John Cena, you can't see me hand gesture. Less than player involved in murder to the Alabama, because the Alabama Barstools went out and said it was classless. But you know, the player for the men's Alabama team was involved in a murder. He gave the person the gun that went to murder somebody.
I heard about that.
So the LSU Barstool was like, this Tony, why you popping shit over here? Y'all got a whole person that's an accessory to murder. Might want to shut the fuck up over here while we're celebrating. I thought that was great. I thought that was amazing.
Stephen A. Smith got on his show and he just said the most. He was just like, look, man. This about race, bro. Like, y'all literally, it's real easy for a white girl that everybody like, or any guy like, it's easy for a white girl to be a victim over any black girl when it comes to a particular moment. People didn't want to see her lose, let alone get taunted for losing.
Yeah.
So because she lost and she got taunted, they felt bad for her. So now they're like, you're classless. And they just talked all this shit. So, you know, she was just like, look, we, like, I get it. To me, I will agree with the people who said it was taunting. I was like, yes, it was absolutely taunting. But obviously, you've never played sports. Like, that's what the fuck, like, I play esports. And you know what I do?
Talk shit.
You know what I do in that mic?
Nah, bitch.
I talk shit, bro.
I done cussed out little kids.
Okay, but you get it, bro. I'm telling you, if we down deficit and we come back and win that bitch by 2 points, when we was down 20, bro, if we down 20 kills and win that match by, bro, we talking cash shit.
I don't give a fuck if you a child, a female.
Bro, I don't care, bro. I'm talking cash shit.
Equal opportunity.
But if we run the score up on you, and if we the underdog and we win, you get to talk shit. That's just how sports. Sports go.
Part of the game.
That's just part of the game.
Did you see Skip Bayless talk about how Larry Bird went into the...
Say, which one of you niggas going?
What are you niggas coming in second place? In? Bro, Larry Bird didn't say that shit, bro. You cannot sit up here and tell me Larry Bird went into a fucking NBA locker room, looked at a bunch of black people and said, which one of you niggas is coming in second place? Bro, they would have beat the shit out of Larry Bird. Nigga, who was going to take that from Larry fucking Bird?
It was
Bird?
The 80s. I low-key believe it. It was the 80s, bro. Hey, I don't know, bro. It was the 80s. I don't think... We ain't had the Million Man March yet, and I don't think...
Which one of them niggas in the 80s is going to let Larry Bird come in their dressing room and say, which one of you niggas is coming in second place? Which nigga did that fly with?
Whatever nigga Franklin put that face on the stove, like.
Cook, nigga!
Cook, nigga! Like, no, but I believe Larry Bird got that shit the fuck off, bro.
What? It's Boston. It's 90s.
Nah, bro. Niggas like Dukes of Hazzard too much for me to not believe that Larry Bird did not say, which one of you niggas bruh, is coming in second
bro.
Place?
That nigga did not say that shit, bro. Them niggas would have pieced him up, bro. Them niggas would have pieced that nigga up in the 80s. In the 80s, nigga,
like
they would have pieced...
Put your hands, boy!
Teach a man how to squabble.
Teach a man how to squabble, but nah.
They would have pieced Larry Bird frail ass the fuck up.
Bro, that is like a great... Bro, Skip Bayless look like, bro, that gotta be the greatest.
Somewhere, Shannon Sharp was looking like, man...
Like, y'all white boys got some crazy ass barbershop stories.
Like, what y'all be going on?
That's the legendary white tail right there. Larry Bird, the last. He told like Larry Bird, yeah, like really.
The last white man in Boston.
Bro, for real. But, nah, man. The gross thing about it was like I was waiting for it to die down. And just when I felt like it was on the verge of being off on his last news cycle, here comes Jill Biden. You know, I'm gonna ask my husband if it's okay if we invite both of them. No,
yeah, how the fuck are you gonna invite the losers?
No.
Listen.
Like, no, you don't. That's not how
it is.
It is
the reason why the South got a bunch of Civil War fucking monuments. Because somewhere, somebody thought the losers needed goddamn trophies too.
Bruh. Like, that shit to me. And so.
That is damn. That is disrespectful.
Angel Reese calling her a joke. That's like, see, of course she's class. She called the first lady a joke. I was just like, bruh, you look like a whole fucking joke. Like, that ain't happening. Because she knows she's like, bruh, if they lost, they wouldn't have gotten invited. And we all know that. So,
yeah, she's not inviting the fucking LSU. At least Trump would have got them niggas big man.
Like, the Eagles ain't get invited to the White House for a close game.
Yeah, like, who
like, no, nigga, they lost.
It's only two teams. Who invites the team that lost?
Like, you gonna invite them both? You pretty much are you're lessening the value of the winner by inviting the person who lost. And then I'm like, get out of the way with this, because it's like in the name of. So what you essentially, because what I took from that was, y'all won, but the way they took the loss was more classy, so they deserve some recognition for being classy. And I was just like, they fucking white girls from Iowa. Well, you need to get the fuck out of here because you baiting race. And I'm just looking at, no, I didn't need Jill to apologize. As misogynistic as this shit is going to sound, I needed Joe Biden to apologize on behalf of his wife to all of the black people who put him in a pile and say, look, shawty tripping. My girl tripping. I'm sorry. Your boy end up being the number one black media hip-hop correspondent. Shout out to Joe Budden.
We number one in leisure.
Leisure. His old co-host had something to say about it. And you clap back. I ain't gonna lie, I like the new show with like the larger cast. It's pretty listening. I like Melissa Ford's voice. She's pretty cool to listen to.
Canadian.
And I like
Flip
because he checked Joe. He the only one that really like check him when he be getting real out of pocket. Like, he the one who check him. The one thing I would like for that show to have, I was just like, y'all added all these New York. I was just like, bruh, it's too much Southern hip hop in the ecosphere for y'all not to have a Southern correspondent. I feel like that's the only thing that show is missing is a Southern correspondent.
I feel like he just needs to have his own network and have other podcasts to go in there.
I guess
because their New York bias is with everything. Like,
I mean, but you know, it's like the New York bias. Like the Breakfast Club, they talked about 50 Cent versus Lil Wayne and the Verses. And I'm like, if I'm a New York DJ and I'm DJed around the world and I know these 50 Cent songs can go, of course I'm gonna say 50 Cent. I mean, but I feel like in the South, it's just like, but Lil Wayne has been on a lot of hits, but the songs we give Lil Wayne reverence for are like those jacking for beats cuts. Those are the songs, and we can't even name them.
Yeah,
we just say what the name. Say that song with Lil Wayne. We can tell you the rap. We can rap the verse, but we can't tell you the name of the song. We was like, that Mike Jones song he had jumped on. You know that Gucci Mane song. You know, fuck these niggas. You know what I'm saying? Like, literally, that's what happened. It's, so when it comes to, you know, 50 Cent versus Lil Wayne, I feel like people really love 50 Cent.
Yeah, I feel like his shit was so short-lived. Like,
but I feel...
It was 2004 to 2007.
It was 2003 to, like... I would say 03 to 07 was, like, his run.
I was like, man, Wayne been popping since fucking, what? 2000?
No. Well, no. Lil Wayne's run actually started in, like, 05. Carter 2. Carter 2 is when Lil Wayne's run officially... In my opinion, 05.
I feel like that's when the masses really. Carter 2 is definitely when the masses really took.
Carter 5 was the first time in my life. Everywhere I went, I heard Lil Wayne. Before then, it was the same way it was with every other Southern rapper. Actually, up until the Carter 2, niggas was still playing more Juvenile than they was Lil Wayne. But because the Carter 1 was dope. But the Carter 2 was just, it was...
I wouldn't say that because that squad shit was really popular.
I mean...
But that was before, that was after...
Bro, him...
What, 700 degrees? Juvenile was 400 degrees.
400, yeah.
Wayne was 700.
But it was, to me, when 05, I think, to me, I give his run, to me, really started in 05. Yeah. But his run didn't pick up real fucking steam until, like, 07.
Yeah.
07 is when
No Ceilings and Lollipop.
Like, that's when that shit started to really take off. So by the time Drake,
I would much rather get a lap dance to Lollipop than anything 50 Cent ever put.
And Lollipop, that was like 09. That was 08, 09 when Lollipop came out. So yeah, like Lil Wayne run started to bubble around 05, and that shit started. He was the hottest shit out by 09. By 09, he was the hottest shit out. So hot that Nicki and Drake just swooped in and were overshadowed him until the dust settled. And when the dust settled, you realize, holy shit. There's actually, like, this light-skinned nigga might be bigger than Wayne. And then 10 years later, we're like, ah, we were right. He was. And Lil Wayne, think about it. And 10 years after that, Lil Wayne just never... lost the spot he solidified at that time. 50 Cent, music-wise, bro, I'm telling you, after like 07, 50 Cent will pop out, but I honestly think we underestimate how big G-Unit was at his peak. I think it was just, like, we know how big Eminem is, but we discount how big Eminem is because a lot of people don't fuck with or listen to Eminem's music, so they discount how big it is amongst the larger larger part of America, right, that really is invested in Eminem. And I think 50 Cent got, like, I think half of Eminem fans fuck with 50 Cent ever since.
Yeah.
And I feel like he caught half of Eminem fans, and that's a lot of fans. But I feel like 50 Cent got more white fans than black fans. But because he's hood and has such a large black cat cachet, I think we underestimate how big 50 Cent actually is because we don't recognize his white fans. With Lil Wayne, I feel it's the exact same thing, but since we were, since when the South really took over, Lil Wayne was on top.
Yeah.
We heard way more Lil Wayne than 50 Cent. When 50 Cent was on top, the clubs down here just weren't playing 50 Cent. So we can't hold him in the same reverence. Because even though we, if we left the South, we would hear a bunch of 50 Cent.
Yeah.
You know, we, you left the country, you hear a bunch of 50 Cent. But in the South, they just wasn't playing 50 Cent like that. So I think a lot of people won't count him out. But honestly, I think it would be... I think it would be close depending on where the verses is and who, what the crowd is looking like. Feel like if they do that shit in the South, ain't no way 50 Cent winning.
But I mean, it's like, bro, if you 20 50 Cent songs, if you did 20 songs, 20 Lil Wayne songs versus 20 50 Cent songs, outside of fucking Wangster and fucking In the Club, and
he got that whole first album though. That's what you can do with the definitive classic album.
Yeah, I mean, it went diamond.
Like, it went diamond. Like, literally, a definitively classic album.
But on the same, but on the same accord, though, like you said, it's...
Ten of them songs...
You shady records, so...
Ten songs coming off... Ten songs off of 50 Cent verses are coming off of his first album.
Yeah, like, he... It was only that one, then the second album. Nobody really bought the third, fourth, the Power theme song. He can play that.
He can play that and he'll fuck him up.
And he can play that the other song that he made in Power, Bitch on the Man. That was a hard ass song.
Man, 50 got some tracks. I know he could play
that. 50 made good fucking music. Yeah. He still make good music, but the same thing about it, bro. Lil Wayne still make
it
good
all
music.
It all depends on
he got NL the song with NLE Chopper.
And that's the thing, bro. I think once
you Lil Wayne still is that nigga.
And I think once you leave out the South, bro, I think some of them No Ceilings, Lil Wayne B-sides that we hold in high regard, I don't think they go like that once you leave out the past the Mason Dixon.
Same thing with 50 Cent, though. A lot of his classics or more of the... Like, even if he came out with How to Rob, I know what How to Rob is, but, I mean, ain't nobody... They wouldn't play How to Rob down here. It wouldn't have the same sentiment as up in New York when they were playing How to Rob up there, because that was what kind of broke him out. If he played fucking Many Men Wish Death Upon Me, even right now, you know, people would feel it, but
that ain't
gonna be fucking Lollipop or Goddamn Fire Man or Baby You Gotta Know That I'm Just Playing We Eatin'.
I don't know, bitch, bro. What the fuck is me saying? I don't know, bro. Many Men is one of them songs I don't think... It's like... I feel like it's in the club. It's almost up there with In the Club. I feel like
In the Club is a
not
song...
not going to win. I mean, not going to lose. In the Club is not going to lose.
Many Men...
I don't know, bro.
It's a bunch of niggas that done got shot right now. It's a bunch of niggas that done got shot that's rapping.
Blood and lie, dog, and I can't see.
And again...
Many Men...
I ain't getting no lap dance to Many Men,
that's
bro.
That's true, but I'm just saying. It was
not, bro. I'm not saying, bro. Half of his 37% of his shit has to deal with him being shot, bro. That is not sexy.
But I'm just saying, it ain't gotta be sexy. It was literally gotta be sexy. It was literally niggas jumped off their mama porch who never seen any kind of danger outside their suburbs, who was out here thinking Many Men wishing death on them.
I know, like, but
niggas gonna be out there stuttering.
They're
gonna be stuttering with their A cup damn tank top.
Yeah. With their halter top.
The halter thing.
Oh, look, I didn't take that into consideration. All right, 50 and G Unit, them niggas change fashion.
That nigga bring John Cena out there. It's over with.
Like, if he bring Yayo and Cena, and they just have a whatever this is off. A beach off. Yeah, have you seen the Barbie movie?
It ain't out yet. But seen the trailer. I'm going to go see it when it come out.
And it's crazy to say that out loud. Like, I want to see this shit. I wanted to see it before when I found out it was... what's the guy's name?
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling and fucking...
That's why I wanted to play me in my biopic.
I know, you told me that.
That's my white biopic. I want my whitewashed... casting is Ryan Gosling.
Colored Negroes.
That's my whitewash casting. I think everybody need to think about it at least once, the whitewash casting. Like, what white person would play you?
Aziz Ansari.
Would play you? Who the fuck is that?
The Indian dude.
Aziz Ansari?
Yeah.
That skinny nigga you 200 pounds and 6'2". All one right. one of them big ass niggas from that Game of Thrones need to be playing your ass. Nigga need to get the mountain.
Hold play the you. Door.
You need to get one of them big ass niggas.
I'm not getting no British people. I'm not getting no British people.
Oh.
You know how this is going.
I have to get one British actor. I played you with dread.
Because the nigga that played Inspector Deck is incredible. Like, he be having mannerisms and everything, and he British as fuck. I was like, ow! Ow! You tricked me! You tricked me, nigga! You tricked me. I thought you was a New York nigga.
Nah, that nigga from being Melf is goddamn British. Blackie.
Yes, bro. Lamar, bro. That
Lamar.
Nigga, that nigga British as fuck, bro.
That's what I'm saying, bro. British actors, bro. Like,
nah, nigga, fuck that, bro. I can find an American nigga that can act, bro.
I ain't saying you can't, bro.
You can't sit here and tell me you can't find one nigga that can act.
Jonathan Majors. He ain't white, though. You gotta find... Nah, the nigga that played Drago in the... You know, Drago Jr. in the Creed movie could play you.
I want the fucking... who would I want to play? What white actor would I want to fucking play me? One of the...
Make sure you put that doesn't there. Narrow it out.
Make sure you put a timestamp there. Ooh. From Forgetting Sarah Marshall. That was the Puppet Master. That's who I would want to play me. Either him or Seth Rogen. That's who I would want to play me.
Oh, you hell. Who would we get to play Macchio? Who would be Macchio's, like, a whitewash biopic? Ninja Please biopic. Who gonna play?
One of the used to come out, not 40-year-old virgin. The guy from Kick-Ass. No. John Travolta.
That older nigga is not playing Macchio, bro. Give me somebody 20 to 30 to play this man.
The 50-year-old,
Ain't nobody in that movie less than 50, bro. All them niggas is 40. Old.
I keep saying 40-year-old virgin. It's the one with McLovin in it.
Michael Cera?
Yes, that's his name. Yes, he was in Kick-Ass, right?
No, that wasn't Kick-Ass. I mean, no, Kick-Ass could probably play. I would say the guy who played Kick-Ass,
or the guy that goes, oh!
No, Aaron Taylor, no, Aaron Taylor Johnson could play Macchio. That's the dude from Kick-Ass that played Kick-Ass.
Oh, okay, yeah. Or, what's the guy? He looks like John Oliver, but he's not John Oliver. He was in that movie that you like. It's like a gladiator type of movie.
300?
Not 300. It was more new. It came out. It was like Knight's Tale. Not Knight's Tale. It was some kind of night movie.
Green Knight?
Adam Driver is his name.
Adam Driver, yeah. Dude said, you can have anything in my castle, just not my wife. If you fuck my wife, I'ma fuck you.
He fucked his wife and then he fucked him?
He did. I don't know what the fuck happened, but he did some sick ass shit to this nigga, like, cause I'm like, bro, don't fuck his wife. Couldn't help himself. Some shit happened. I'm like, bro.
Everything one of them had. Their asses was so fat that my wife. Am I tripping, or does every woman out here have a fat ass? And I'm like, maybe you got the fattest ass in the world. So I don't see no other asses but yours. But if I did have to see them, yes.
I don't know. I think we've come to the conclusion that it is the water and the gumbo. Because even Jen got a little thicker. Just eating out there.
couple days. But that shit was... That was an experience. It's dark as fuck out there.
Was that your first time in New Orleans?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, okay.
And I wanted to get up with my mentor. He was in St. Louis at the time, but we didn't even really go to New Orleans. We was in Harvey, Louisiana. We went to New Orleans to go down to Bourbon Street. You know, we didn't go to New Orleans. But I mean, it's an epidemic there. Like it is an epidemic.
Oh, they thick down now.
Not even thick, bro. It's like they just got fat asses, bro. I'm talking about like they be this big, but they still got big old asses, bro. Like it's just
gotcha.
They not thick. They got fat asses. They got it's some thickums out there, definitely. But it's just literally fat ass. Like it's not BBL. It's not no, you know, silicone. It's none of that. It is crawfish.
I've been
beignets.
I've been to New Orleans twice. I've rode through Louisiana like four times, but I've stopped there twice. But I don't know. First time I went, I was 14. And second time I went, I was like 17, 18. I just, you know, I was in high school. We was on a band trip. We played in the Mardi Gras parade. It was a long ass parade. And we marched for like, goddamn, 5 hours long, bro. 5 hours long, bro. Just marching with an instrument, playing, dancing.
And they pulled some titties out.
Yeah. I mean, we got lit. We was lit, bro. We was doing shit we shouldn't have been doing. I know I was, cause I was like young on my I was in my emo phase, so you know I was just really like on some different shit, you know, and you know just.
I really fucked it up this time.
No. But you know, I was like, you know, I had black. No. I mean, I guess that didn't have shit to do with shit, but that's just where I was, like, mentally. I didn't, you know, and I guess it was...
Mentally emo. I feel like that's scarier.
I mean,
mentally emo as opposed to the whole full emo regalia?
I mean, I had the regalia, but, I mean, mentally it was, like, there, but so I still had a good time.
Darkness.
It's just that I wasn't in tune to what the city had to offer. Or what, you know, I didn't really, like, we went to the mall, we went shopping, I seen some titties, you know, took some pictures, like, gave out some beads, we had a nice little time, you know, some of the seniors, like, you know, I went, like, some of the seniors, bro, these guys was like, nah, bro, we finna really, like,
gonna live it up here.
Nah, they snuck into the bars in the middle of the day and just went places we weren't supposed to go because their thing was like, we ain't gonna worry. We gonna ask for forgiveness and just not get caught, bro. We ain't finna just try to be good at two shoes. I was like ninth grade, bro. I was trying to be a good at two shoes, bro. I ain't want no smoke because they scare you. Like, bro, you away from the school, but you represent the school. If you do some crazy shit, you know, you're gonna get suspended, you're gonna get in trouble. And then my mom was a chaperone on the trip. So it's like, I can't really get caught up in no real serious shit. I got cussed out when I got back because I did, girl took a picture with her, you know.
The titties out.
Titties out. And my ass decided that, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna take these pictures, I'm gonna put my face in them, stuck my tongue out like I was licking a nipple and shit. Like, had fun.
You photoshopped yourself into.
No, I wasn't no Photoshop. Oh, you know, real.
They took the picture, he's like, ah.
I was like, ah, like I was really doing that shit.
Hey, you know? Play the applause, man.
You know what I'm saying? And because of that, band director find out, because motherfuckers went around showing the picture, so he called me to the office and he was just like,
so you look them, you like titties, huh?
He's like, you want to explain something? And I was like, explain what?
Niggas titties.
And then he showed the photo, and I was like,
what is? So look, it's self-explanatory.
Can I have that? And he's like, yo,
you asked, can I have it?
Yeah.
You didn't have a copy of it.
Man, I took some with my phone, but I took some with my camera. Somebody else took some with their camera. And he was just like, don't be bringing this shit to. I was like, look, I didn't bring that.
I'm not self-incriminating.
I'm
out
not
here.
Stupid. I'm not going. He was like, yeah, you better not be. And he was just like, bro, how this shit going to look? He was just like, I don't give a fuck.
It looks like I had a good time, sir.
Yeah, he was understanding. His thing was just like, look, I don't care if you took this picture, bro, but don't be bringing this shit around the school.
Yeah, don't
be stupid. Don't incriminate yourself. Like, that's literally.
Because, I mean, just. Child pornography to an extent.
Like, yeah, bro, don't snitch on yourself, bro. Like, so he was like, whoever photo, whoever, you know. Who else was there? So he made me snitch. He was just like, I don't know. Fuck no, I snitched, bro. I told on all them niggas. Like, he was there, was he was Mo, there. He was there. Like, bro, all them niggas was there. Like, nah, bro, because it's just like, you know, and he was like, bro, you snitched. I was just like, bro. Because he knew. He knew. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing. He was one of them dudes. To me, it ain't snitching if you already know. Like, stop trying to play me like that, bro. You already know. Because, one, you didn't get this photo from me. You got it from someone else in the band. And when I took this photo, it was only four. It was me and three other niggas there. So it had to be one of these three other niggas there. And I instantly knew the nigga who did it because he the only nigga had a camera. So it was easy. Like, yeah, okay, I already know who camera developed this and decided to show it around the damn school, put my shit on blast. And I felt some kind of way because I'm like, damn, bro, you too scared to take a picture with your tongue out with the titty. So why you showing everybody me out here on some freak shit dying at Mardi Gras? Don't get me wrong, you know, but it's just one of them things like, nigga, I'm going to get suspended. You ain't.
So you had an active childhood, if I remember correctly. You sweet chin music and or DDT'd several people of the X chromosome.
There you go. Making up and bringing shit.
Shout out to your hero, Jonathan.
Man, I ain't gonna let you get that off, bro. You gonna have to chill. I thought you was gonna say Stone Cold Steve Austin or some shit. Your ass wanna... Stone Cold? Wow.
He beat her up, bro.
Allegedly.
For his lawyer, the one that released the text message that make her sound like an abuse victim.
Nah, man.
It's my fault. I shouldn't have grabbed your phone. Oh, this is definitely not your first fucking rodeo, ma'am.
Bro, I've seen women get drunk and just try niggas like, you know what? I'ma just... You can't hit. That was the most annoying thing when I seen it up close. I seen, you know, I was partying, you know, with some friends, and, you know, a guy's girlfriend was there. She gets drunk and gets extremely jealous. And the thing was, she like slapped him, said, "What are you gonna do? Hit me? You're a guy, you can't hit a girl." And just went upside this nigga head. And we the homies, we looking at him like, "Yo, chill, like, hold on, we just break this shit up." And she like, you know what I'm saying? And then he one of them niggas like, "Bro, don't touch her, leave alone." And then, you know, he's like, "Nah, bro, like, let us see what happened." And I'm like, "Nah, nigga, that's what we ain't finna do. Like, cut this shit out. Y'all grown, cut it out." But she was just like, oh yeah, y'all gonna watch him beat up a girl, huh? He hit me. Oh, y'all." And she drunk, just talking reckless. And we all looking like,
why are you putting us in this situation?
Like, don't put us in this shit. But she is going the fuck off. So she all in this nigga face, pointing, you know what I'm saying, him in the eye. You know how annoying it is when you get that thing in your face.
That's when you find a girl and say, "Hey, you wanna make $50? Go beat that bitch up."
I mean, he didn't hit her, but he did.
That's like, what I said. No, he go pay somebody.
He grabbed her, like the guy that I was with that time. He just grabbed her, like he gave her a hug, and he just picked the ass up and got down. You know what I'm saying? Just, "Hey, bro, we going home." hey, bro, chill. Like, because that shit awkward, man. I'm like, bro, don't get into some domestic shit around me. I don't even want you yelling at your girl in my presence, bro. Because it's a hard line between you wanting to be a gentleman and you wanting to mind your business and respect somebody's relationship. You like a damn fool, you defend her honor, she go back to the nigga. You know what I'm saying? That shit get really touchy. But anyway, I don't believe Jonathan Majors hit that girl. I don't believe none of that shit.
Well, didn't she end up in the hospital with bruises and cuts?
I seen Ant-Man. Maybe he put in the yoke. He put Ant-Man in the yoke. I think he maybe, because Jonathan Majors is like 200 some pounds all muscle. He's finna play a bodybuilder and he's finna play Dennis Rodman.
Held her down. But it looked like he might have just said.
Well, we didn't see her photo. And, we, you know, like, they really reserved.
Well, we don't even know her name.
We don't know her name. Her race is alleged. Like, everybody read the text. Like, that's a white girl.
they're doing the Kerry Washington scandal with this shit. Like, we don't know her name. We don't know what she does. And we're not going to.
And then she recanted her statement. Like, no.
Oh, I would too. Like, if goddamn Mickey Mouse showed up, whoa, bitch.
Fucking up my mind.
What you say? You don't see the shit we got going on? Like, you see what Mickey Mouse did to the Jonas Brothers.
Well, I can imagine being in that situation, right? Like, that's really messed. You in the high time of your career. So being that big in your career, I don't think it absolves a man from resorting to violence. However, I have to believe that you there are enough cautionary tales out enough to, for you to know that, bruh, some shit you just can't do, especially with all these cameras in this time. Your career is blowing up. So I don't believe.
Now is not the time.
Yeah, now is not the time. So I have a hard time believing that this man is just, you know, did that shit without cause.
Malice.
Like straight malice. And you know what I'm saying? But, I mean, I read the text too. And he just like, nah, man, hear the text. Like, nah, bro, we ain't do it. Like, bro, she attacked me in the cab. We got witnesses that said she was doing this. It's messy, man. But at the same time, when the gall of women who would believe that I can hit you and you can't hit me back. And I'm going to disrespect you.
Without impunity.
Yeah, and I'm going to try you. Especially knowing that, bro, you got men's on the line. You can't fuck up. So literally, I can do whatever the fuck I want to you.
No, you can't. And you can't do that. Hey, lady, you want to make $50? Go beat that bitch up. If 50's not enough, add a zero. Here's 500.
Don't
if
that's
not
enough, him. Don't Venmo him.
Yeah, but not Matt Gaetz.
You know, he got away with that.
Like, bro, here's some money.
No, Matt Gaetz got away with the whole thing. Like, bro, like.
He's a Republican. They get away with everything. They can do whatever the fuck they feel like and then just boot out Democrats for peacefully protesting in Tennessee.
Shout out to Pensacola. Shout out to Tennessee. God damn.